That rock has been a shelter for me. This is the stone that was set at naught of your builders. It's become the head of the corner. Behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a chief stumbling stone, and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth upon him shall never be ashamed. Thank God. Woo, has your road been rocky? Get on the rock. Hallelujah. Well, wave offering before you sit down. It's found in Leviticus. It's found in Randallstown. Double wave offerings are for double portion candidates only, please. Wait a minute, just double portion candidates now. It is also, the wave offering is also for the people with arthritis of the elbow. Then it's for those who don't want to get it. Then it's for the folks that's in their right mind. Who some glad morning when this life is o'er plans on flying away. Practice up on your flying. Come on, you look like you're going to stay grounded. Practice.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful Savior. Are you happy now? Well, you may be seated. Shake one hand by the pump handle. Pump the well. If there is no well springing up, just keep pumping until it does. I'm reading today out of Numbers 12. How many word people are with us? Word people. Is that all? Well, here, I thought I was going to preach. Well, I'll give you one more chance. How many word people do we have? Chance. You people. As soon as this message is done or halfway done. And it's found in Numbers chapter 12. Now, I am of British descent, so I preach from the original English. Hallelujah. Beside, all my forefathers got saved by this version, and so all these new ones, I don't have time to really trust them yet. I haven't had time to prove them. They've only been around for about 20 years. Hallelujah. I would have you read with me today responsively, but the last time I did that with several different versions, it sounded like a hen house. So maybe I'll just read it for you. If you have a King James, you can read it with me, okay? I'll read a verse. Chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Your turn if you got a King James. Wow, we got students here today. I'm going to enjoy this after all. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth.
And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out.
You mean God spoke suddenly? I think it's going to happen here this afternoon. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he, the Lord, departed. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Hear her now, O God, I beseech thee. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. Boy, you did a good job. I'm proud of you this morning. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen, and by it the elders obtained a good report. If you haven't lived a life of faith, you might just have never been born. You should not even have existed on the earth if you don't exercise your faith. But every man is born with a measure of faith. It's up to you to use it. God made every created being in his own likeness and in his image. Because God has a will and a choice and a free moral agency, so you do too. How many choices have you made since you got out of bed this morning? If we could just get rid of this choice of ours, we wouldn't be in so much trouble. We're always making the wrong decisions. It's a dangerous thing to have a choice. Therefore, we must be submitted to the will of God all the days of our life. Fall upon the stone and be broken. Woe unto the man upon whom the rock shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Now, I'm going to ask somebody to name two of the 12 spies that spied. No, three. Three of the 12 spies that spied out the land of Canaan under Moses. Now, I know you've got your King James right there. Don't cheat. It's in the next chapter. Don't look. All right. Don't look, I said. Now, name three of them for me. Somebody? Joshua. Caleb. One more. One more. No, she's looking. You're peeking. One more. You can't do it. You know why? Because they were men of unbelief. And if you've lived a life of unbelief, you might just as well give up the ghost today, because it would be better for you never to be born than to not be a man of unbelief, a man that is filled of unbelief. Do you want to be remembered? Who wants to be remembered after you're gone? Well, 10 spies cannot be remembered, and they're right there. You've read them over and over. You've got Shaphat, and you've got Palti, and Gadio, and Gadai, and Amiel, and Sether, and Nabi, and Giuel. Who remembers those names? Nobody. Because they came back with a bad report of unbelief and said, we ain't got no faith for this. And so God said, drop dead. They died the same day, if you study the Bible, they died the same day they came back with an evil report of unbelief. And so I'm not going to allow anybody to doubt God today or have any unbelief in this place. Because if you're determined to doubt, pout, and do without, I might just as well preach your funeral right now. Because you've got no purpose in this world. You're just in the way and underfoot and in the road. And that's a bad feeling to have. So when they nail the last nail in your coffin and you have lived a life of unbelief, You are a forgotten soul, never to be remembered again. Ooh, makes you want to believe God, don't it? All right. If you're happy, say I'm happy. All right. Let's look into that previous chapter of now that we just read. And Aaron and Miriam was brother and sister to a man called Moses. Moses was a man called of God who had paid the price for the ministry God gave him. He was very meek. That meant he was humble. He didn't speak up for himself, so God had to do it for him. Would you rather God speak for you, or you just want to blab away? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, most of the trouble that a man will ever have will be with his brother and sister. And that goes on in the church, too. Brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. And the little campaign got started, and the split began where the brother and sister tried to split the church, and it was all over the fact that they didn't feel like they were spiritual enough. And if you're not spiritual enough, seek God and get spiritual. Don't be jealous of somebody else's ministry. Hallelujah. I mean, God put Moses in that job. Leave him alone. Here's how you know whether or not you got the right ministry. By their fruits ye shall know them. If you're having results, progress, success, fruit, accomplishment, far be it from me to throw stones in your path. Get out of the way of that person and let God continue to use them. And if you're going to run around being jealous of somebody else's ministry, that means you are totally insecure. You are like Paul said, comparing oneself with oneself. That is not good, said Paul. You need to be satisfied with what God's given you to do, and if you're faithful with it, he'll give you more. You can have more than one talent. I worry about people who have only got one talent. They always seem to bury it in the sand. About two talents, one, two more. And five talents, one, five more. 10 talents, one, 10 more. We don't even get interest off the talent that's buried in the sand. Here, thou good and faithful servant, have 2 cities. Here, have 5 cities. Here, have 10 cities. Woo. Don't you want a gift? Don't you want a talent? Don't you want to have more than just one little old thing? Well, you use what you got, and God will give you more. And never mind Moses, Miriam, and Aaron, because you already have the priesthood, Aaron. What more do you want? Are you a hog? You want to run the whole show and be the priest too? This is a body ministry, and we are members in particular of this body. And the eye is not the foot, the foot's not the hand, the finger's not the toe, and I would look stupid with my toe hanging off my ear. God has put the body together the way he wants it. Thank God, and by their fruits ye shall know them. You have success of what you do. The way to have non-success is to start criticizing leadership. You cannot get any higher than leadership. If the leader does not want God to move, he'll throw the baby out with the bathwater. If he wants God to move, that's why he's on the platform in the first place, to pull you up a little higher and inspire you to receive a ministry. Also, because every saved person has a ministry. Now, you may not pastor a pulpit, thank God. But if you're saved, you're saved to preach, or to teach, or to witness. You have a job to do. Now, Miriam, what's your problem? Well, do you think you're the only spiritual person around here, brother? Brother Moses, said Miriam, Moses' sister. God speaks to us too, you know. Well, that's good, said Moses. I'm glad he does. But I have to do what I'm doing because God makes me do it. He gave me a gift, and if I don't exercise it, I'm a dead man. And as soon as you get a gift, and I'm going to pray you get one today, I will never tell you what the price tag is. You just go ahead and get it and be stuck. Find out on your own what it's going to cost you, and then you have a decision to operate it or drop dead. Because God will not allow you to stay on the earth because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, and you shouldn't ask for it in the first place. You see, the fear of God and respect for the ministry is something that's long gone in the church world today. If you do not fear God this morning, He will not show up in this meeting this morning. The fear of God's beginning of wisdom. See that? Now, Job was talking about wisdom in that 28th chapter of his. And he said, the world's looking for it. The world does not know what it is. They don't know where to find it. The rich man have all their gold and silver, and they can't buy it. Pearls and emeralds and diamonds and sapphires and jewels. He went all down through the chapter saying, everybody's ready to purchase and buy this thing, wisdom, but they don't know what it is. They don't know where, and they don't know how to get it. They have no idea what it is. Finally, in the last verse of chapter 8, God spoke through Job and said, here is wisdom. And the Lord said unto man. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. And you think these intelligentsias from Harvard is going to do that? Not on your life are they going to fear God. And they're certainly not from evil, because they want to sin and enjoy it and keep on sinning and go to heaven anyhow. Sorry, but you won't get in. Hallelujah. So you want that elusive wisdom, do you, that the rich man cannot find or buy? Start fearing God this morning and keep yourself from sin, unspotted from the flesh, and you have the wisdom of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're right so far, Brother Clark. You're right so far, Brother Clark. And why? Because I'm in the Word. And I'm going to be right all the rest of the day. Because I'm in the Word. Here tonight, you Word people say hallelujah. So now they wondered, how can we start our campaign to unseat the leader of the church in the wilderness? Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll criticize him for who he married. Now remember, the issue is never the issue. What's going on behind the curtain has nothing to do with what's going on the stage. You can just read the mainline, watch the mainline news media and figure that out. Fellow said, was that fellow, that politician lying on TV last night, Brother Clark? I said, well, was his lips moving? The mainline media is nothing but a propaganda machine for the central bankers who are destroying the earth as I speak. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So now here is Moses and his brother and his sister, and they've ganged up on him because of the Ethiopian woman he had married. Now, anybody heard tell of Josephus, the Jewish historian? Have you ever read about him or after him? Well, Josephus tells us that when Moses was in the first 40 years, he was a great general in Egypt because he was to be the next pharaoh. And he went to Ethiopia, and he besieged the capital city, and the queen of Ethiopia watched him out of her window at the prowess that he had as a general. And when she saw it, she was moved, no spirit left in her. So she said to herself, instead of destroying my nation, I'll give my hand to this man in marriage. And so she traded the country for a marriage with Moses. Now that's what Josephus teaches. That's what Josephus shows us out of history. Because not everything can be contained in the Bible. We've only got 66 books. We can't exhaust that before we die. But there's so much stuff has happened. Like Jesus, Many other things did he do which were not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, believing you might have life in his name. And I suppose, said John, that of all the things Jesus ever did and said were put in a book, the world itself could not contain the volumes of that book. So Josephus tells us that he had married an Ethiopian woman who was long gone by the time that Moses was 80 years old. Well, he spent his first 40 years in Egypt. He spent his second 40 years in the backside of the desert where he married Zipporah. And he was running from Pharaoh. He spent his last 40 years up to his 120 leading the people out of Egypt's bondage. So this stuff was all in the past and under the blood and buried and everything else. And they couldn't figure out what in the world to do against, how can we get at Moses? So they got on to him about who he had married. Now, whoever you marry, that's it. I mean, that's your tough luck. You made the decision. You should have paid attention before you made the decision. Well, we don't change partners around here like dance cards. Say hallelujah. And, I mean, there was nothing they could do about it now. He'd already married the woman, but here they was using it for an excuse to get at him for something else. See, that's the real purpose, was the something else. We're going to take him down a butthole lower. We're just as spiritual as he is. We can prophesy as good as Moses does. God uses us too. Well, thank God he uses you too. A man that knows who he is, and God is never jealous of other people. He knows what God sent him to do, and he has to do it. In fact, he's looking for help out of somebody else to help him do it. He's not guarding his turf. He's not territorial. Thank God. God wants to move here today. More power to the whole bunch of you, as far as I'm concerned. And so now they said, you think you're spiritual? Now the Lord heard it. Now, God don't listen to everything you say. God hears everything I say. Yeah, but he don't pay any attention to most of it. I'll get out of bed today. God don't listen to that. I don't believe I'll go to work. God's not listening to that. I don't think I'll go to the store. Wait till you get hungry, you'll go. And a lot of our jabber he just has to put up with. But this, God heard it and he took note of it and said, now you've done something that's stirred up my ire and anger. And he came down into the tabernacle. Aren't you glad he's in the tabernacle right now? And he called Aaron and Miriam and Moses out of the tabernacle and said, come up to the front of the congregation. Come forth to the front of the tabernacle. They didn't sit there and say, I'm not going up there. My dear friend, your arms are too short to box of God. Hallelujah. I don't think I want that preacher to pray for me. Too bad. He's going to pray for you anyhow. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you want to come? Because the preacher wants me to. Clap your hands. Well, I'm not going to clap. Why? Because the preacher asked me to. Well, you stubborn boob, you. Hallelujah. When God called them, they came. They had no choice, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And here they were. And the Lord said, now I'm going to teach you three a lesson today. How many just enjoys getting taught a lesson? My old daddy always used to tell me there's two ways of doing something and learning something. I said, what, Dad? He said, the first way is the easy way, be led of the Spirit. What's the other way? That's the hard way. Go to the woodshed and take your licking. Hallelujah. So here they were. God is speaking to them in the front of the church and says, now I want you to understand that there's a prophet around here. If there be a prophet. Now, see, God was even a little bit iffy himself about prophets. He didn't say the the prophets that are here. He said, if there be a prophet, scarce is hen's teeth. They're getting very hard to find. Or you can subscribe to Charisma Magazine and find prophets on every page. Apostles on every page. Doctors of divinity and this, that, and something else on every page because they paid for their own ads. Say hallelujah. But God said, if there be a prophet, I will give him a prophecy. A dreamer, I'll give him a dream. And a visionary, I'll give him a visionary. A seer, I'll let him see something. And whatever it is that you do in the kingdom, I will enhance that and help you. But my servant Moses is not so. He's not like the rest of you fellas. He's not like the kit and caboodle. He's not like the average. He is not the status quo. He's out of the ordinary because he is faithful in all mine house. Now I could talk about being faithful to the house of God if it wouldn't be so embarrassing. I mean, he was there when the doors were open. He was there at meeting time on time. He was there doing the work of the ministry in the house of God, and he was faithful. Somebody said, faith. Well, that's good. I'd rather see you full of faith. That way you'd be faithful. Full of faith. Faithful. That's called the baptism of faith. Fullness is baptism. Get baptized in faith today and you have faithfulness. The fullness of faith. And when you are faithful to the house of God, you're out of the ordinary because very few people are like that anymore. They only come to church when they get sick. Well, I went to the doctor and spent $100,000. I spent $50,000 on pills at the drugstore, and it's still there. I guess I'll go to church and let God heal me. Using God for a spare tire, are you? Hallelujah. Well, here I am, you lucky people. I'm here to get my miracle. Of course, just as soon as I get it, I'll be gone. You'll not see me again. Oh, yeah, we will. Because God will make you sick again. And you'll have to come back to church again and get healed again. If you were smart at all, you'd stay in church in the first place and you probably never would get sick. Say hallelujah. You're right so far, Brother Clark. Hallelujah. Woo, I'm feeling happy now. So the Lord said, with Moses, who is special because he's faithful to the house of God, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Woo, I like this. I will speak to him apparently. It'll be very apparent that I'm speaking and I'm working and performing the miraculous. It'll be very apparent. In fact, I will not speak in dark sentences. Have you ever had somebody prophesy over you that just, it went on and on and on and on and on, prophesying the obvious, and after a while, after the first 5 minutes, you lost the whole bulk of the material. You couldn't remember it. You see, at the point of the candidate not able to remember something, God cuts it off. It stops there because he doesn't waste a crumb. He doesn't waste anything. After he fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the kids, he picked up 12 baskets of fragments, for he doesn't waste anything. So unless you get a tape recorder running, after about the first three or four words and revelations, you're just going to find yourself spinning your duels and your clutch will be slipping. Hallelujah. Because the human being can only retain so much, you see. It'd be better to have 3 good things than 30 that you can't remember. Amen. Unless, of course, you got a tape recorder running. Hallelujah. You're right so far, Brother Clark. Praising God. So now I'm going to speak mouth to mouth, apparently, not in dark sayings. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He'll see the vision. He'll see the very outline of the Lord and the outline of what he's doing. Everybody's x-ray will come in real clear. Ooh, glory. The x-ray will be free, and so will the cure. That means the word of knowledge will be free, and so will the working of miracles. Get it? Hallelujah. He said, now, how was it that you dared to talk against the preacher, talk against Moses, your own brother that has brought you out of Egypt through the Red Sea, sent 10 plagues upon Pharaoh, hit the rock and the water flowed and filled everybody and their last cow too. Down this manna from heaven. And I think let's forget about all the good things God has done for us in the past. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it'll truly surprise you what the Lord hath done. Hallelujah. Today, we are in a rushed society that specializes in bargain basement salvation, 7-Eleven gospel, shortcut religion, Jiffy blessings. Get all you can all you get as fast as possible. We are so rushed with choices upon choices and, I got to have this and I got to have this. Why? Because so-and-so's got that. I got to have that too. Next thing you know, the shelves in Walmart are bare. I went there yesterday and there was hardly anything left at Walmart. In fact, I couldn't even park. There were so many cars in there. People buying stuff from China. House, it lasts a year, it breaks, they throw it out the backyard. There the old lamp goes down to the dump, and Walmart goes down to the dump and recycles it. And there it is back on the shelf again. And that lamp looks familiar. Where did I see that before? That's the one you bought last year. Well, I don't have a lamp, so I'm gonna have to buy it again this year. And there it is, stuff upon stuff upon stuff. And that's the kind of a generation you live in, where everything is just high tech and so fast that your head is spinning, and it's starting to affect Christianity and the church. We're going to have to fear God. We're going to have to spend time, quality time in his presence. If I preach a little bit long here today, I got a good excuse. You needed it. Whatever gets your best time, energy, money, worship, adoration, attention, that is your God. We've got to make Jesus our God today by giving him our best of everything we got. See? Especially our time. He don't even want your money. He wants your time. He wants you. He don't want you out serving idolatry, which is what you're doing when something else gets your time and energy and all your efforts. Hallelujah. So the Lord is very upset with those who chuck a miracle, forget the past, forget their history. God, he'll be a cancer. Now what else can I do to bring it back upon myself? See that? God has worked great miracles for me, but I offended the other day. I got caught up. Somebody looked at me the wrong way, didn't shake my hand. I know they're just talking about me. Remember all the miracles God's done for you. Don't chuck it aside just because your personal agendas get in the way. Your old flesh is still in the flesh. Get old flesh by the scuff of the neck this morning and say, look, self, get in the Holy Ghost and stay there. Let your old man die and be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you will live. Hallelujah. Do you honor and respect what God's done for you? Now listen, you're going to get healed today. I know that a lot of you are already healed. Close to half the church is already healed. So that's going to make my work easy this morning. Hallelujah. But you are not going to lose your miracle. And if you think you're just going to be sloppy and go back to sin or anything else and kick over the traces and dump over the milk bucket after you had a good bucket of milk, and do that transgression that separates you from God so he can't protect you no more, and that spirit of infirmity says, I got you again. I'm not even going to pray for you unless you promise me to keep your miracle. I got more to do with my life than to pray for the same person over and over for the same thing over and over. Learn to get a backbone instead of a wishbone. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I said, if you resist the devil, he'll get the fleas. Say hallelujah. Woo. We respect and honor the Lord today. We fear him, and we're going to keep what he gives us, and we're not going to lose it because of sin or slothfulness or sloppiness, and we're not going to lose it because we's offended over something, and my little old feelings is worth more than 50 miracles. That is the most insane thing I have ever heard about, but it happens every day in every church I go to. Well, God owed it to me. God don't owe you nothing. It cost Jesus everything to do these works. And it cost the preacher a whole lot, too. And don't forget the price tag. Amen. So we're not here just spinning our duels and wasting our time. Aren't you happy? Amen. You're right so far, Brother Clark. Now the Lord was very angry because somebody had the gall to speak against leadership. Taught you your lesson. That's just how it sits. Goodbye. And he departed. Don't depart, Lord. Well, I'm going to be gone until you smarten up and learn something. When you learn your lesson, maybe I'll come back. Instead, the Bible said he departed. Now, we're talking about departures from here to the end. I don't mean get up and go home right now. The Lord departed. Was the first thing that had departed was the fear of God and respect for the ministry. That had departed. Or they wouldn't have run their mouth. Am I right so far? So the fear of God departed, and so God don't show up where he appeared, but he did show up long enough to give them all a spanking. And then he departed. So there's two things that's gone. Fear of God and God himself. Now the next thing that happened was the pillar that was hanging over the tabernacle took a look and said, the Lord's departed. What am I doing here? Bye-bye. I'm gone too. Safeway, safeway. Oh, I forgot you don't speak Spanish. Okay. Hallelujah. Bye, said the pillar, and the pillar God by day, the pillar of fire by night, which is what it was, it departed. Now we've got three departures. Next thing, look down, and lo and behold, Miriam was leprous. She had leprosy all over her body, and it was eating her away while she was standing there. Now leprosy is the Old Testament type of sin, right? This is why the New Testament church is supposed to be without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. Right? Come on, glorious church. Say amen. You work on your any such things, and we'll try to work on your wrinkles. Hallelujah. And your spots. Now, health had departed from Miriam. Why didn't Aaron get cursed of the leprosy too? Well, he had the high priest's robes on. His mantle, his robes of ministry protected him. I want you to know that there's a lot of bad apples in the barrel, but that don't mean the whole barrel's bad. There are some preachers that are as crooked as a dog's hind leg, but we can't do nothing about that. The only reason that God's having mercy on them is because they're still preaching the gospel, and as long as they keep that mantle of ministry around them, they'll last longer in God's grace period. Amen. I firmly believe it was Aaron's high priest garments that kept him from getting leprosy when his sister standing right beside him got it. Now, case in point, if you don't believe that, watch where Moses took Aaron to Mount Horeb and stripped him of all his garments at age 123. Moses took the garments, pulled them off in his body, and instantly Aaron dropped dead. So if I was you, I'd stick with my ministry. Amen. If it's more important for you to sell used cars, that's a different story. But whatever you work at, make sure you minister while you're working at it. Because as long as you cling to that ministry, you're going to live longer. God's going to give you longevity. It's in God's special interest to keep you alive if you're winning souls. The only thing on planet Earth he cares about is souls. He don't care if the Red Sox wins the World Series or the Baltimore Orioles. Because the other team is praying too. Who's he going to answer? God's not the author of confusion. Hear me. He doesn't care about this stuff. Time and chance happens to every man. But he cares about souls. And if you're after souls, he'll leave you on the planet. And if you're just going to be one of those 10 spies of unbelief and never do any ministry, he'll take you out of here early. Hallelujah. All right. Health departed. Oh, said Aaron, brother Moses, we've sinned. Pray for us. Pray for our sister. Don't let her be eat up with leprosy or cancer. Or I guess leprosy back then is cancer today. Like her flesh is half gone as she cometh forth from the womb. And I don't understand how half her body was gone like that. It seemed like Aaron said, she is as one whose flesh is half consumed. I don't know how she lived with one leg and one arm, one side of her head. I mean, the way I read it, it seemed like half her body was devoured. I know a lot of folks is only half there. Hallelujah. They're sitting in church listening to preaching, but their mind is on McDonald's and what's going to have for dinner. Hallelujah. And the next thing you know, Moses, the meekest man on earth, is praying, oh, God, heal her now. Heal her now. Heal her. God said, I won't heal her. I've departed. She's not getting no healing. If her father but spit in her face, should she not be unclean 7 days? Kick her out of the camp. Put her outside the congregation, stick her outside the door, and let her sit there till she learns a lesson for 7 days. Now, as I said, too short the box of God. You can't make him do nothing, but he is going to make you do something. God won't go against my will, I know, but he'll be willing to go. Just how to do it. I'm not budging, said the Canaanites. Said God, where's my hornets? Zap, zap, zap. Those stubborn Canaanites finally got moving. And were they moving against their will? They were very willing to move when the hornets were stinging them. And so will you get willing to move as soon as God starts stinging you real good. Are you listening close? You're not moving against your will. He just made you willing, that's all. There she goes, half there, outside the camp. And Moses prayed, nothing happened. God said, I'm not going to heal her for a week. And she hung on to that word. Oh, in 1 week, he said I could come back into the camp, which means I'm going to be healed of leprosy in 1 week because a leper cannot be among the congregation. Why don't you figure out this preaching today and just hang on to one thread, one scripture, one word, one promise, and it will come to pass. She didn't have much to hang on to, but she believed God anyhow. If she hadn't believed it, she'd have been a skeleton there for the last 5,000 years. Say hallelujah. Do you love his word now? Thank God for his word today. All right, what do we got? We got the gift departed. My gift ain't working. My gift ain't working. Yes, you should have feared God, respected the ministry, not made him mad at you, not sent him off, send the pillar behind him, and lost your health, and now the gift won't work when we pray for you. A lot of departures here. Say a lot of departures here. Now the gift had departed. And there went Miriam outside the camp, and she departed from the camp. But 7 days later, she looked down, and she saw God healing her. Woo! She'd had a real good spit in the face. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus spit and rubbed it in a blind man's eyes, there was more virtue in that spit than all the doctors' medicine in Palestine. You know, Jesus is quite upset with this church age, us Laodiceans. How many knows what church age you're living in? The last one. What is it? Laodicea. What did he say to Laodicea? He said, I wish you was froze up and I wouldn't have to taste you. Can you taste ice? Well, maybe your tongue will get stuck to it or something. Oh, he said, but I want you on fire. You know, the Holy Ghost and fire John the Baptist preached about. Okay, let's get fire baptized. But he said, because you're lukewarm, I'm in a spitting mood. Don't get God in a spitting mood, whatever you do. What's he spitting? You. He's spitting you out. No, I stand corrected. He is spewing you out. Spewing is different than spitting. This is spit. This is spew. I'm regurgitating. Oh, nauseated. I'm about to vomit. Now that's spew. And that's what he's doing with this church age. He is spewing them out. And once you're out, you're out. You're not in. You're out. You're no longer in Christ, the new creature, if you get spewed out because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. So God said, if her father but spit in her face, should she not be unclean for 7 days? Absolutely. So her father in heaven spit in her face, and it took her 7 days to get healed, and you folks want to be healed in 5 seconds or in 7 seconds. You better take inventory before we lay hands on your head and find out where you've been living. Hallelujah. Good to see you, Brandon. Have a chair right down front here. Okay. That way I keep my eye on you. Hallelujah. This is an evangelist friend of mine who came all the way from Indianapolis to be in this meeting this week. Give him a good hand. He's expecting an impartation. I wonder if you could expect the same who have driven across the street. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wave your hand in great victory. She looks down, and the leprosy departed. Thank God we're getting positive departures at this point. And then she went back into the camp because she was healed, and then the camp departed. They'd been held up for a solid week. How many sick and tired of holding up progress around here? All because of saying the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time and getting God upset with you, and now you don't get a miracle, you get a healing. What do you mean? I mean, a miracle is instantaneous work of God, but a healing is a gradual, progressive restoration of God, which is why there are 9 gifts and not 8. You see, sometimes he has the last one because it's there. God does everything instantly or progressively, right? He's taken the church in the twinkling of an eye. What a miracle. But then there's the blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear, the slow and progressive restoration of the kingdom of God. She's back in the camp. The camp is traveling on. Oh, thank God for camp meeting days. And now the congregation is moving forward because that person who was holding up progress is no longer holding up progress. Aaron ought to have been out there too, but for his ministry. Sometimes God is merciful on preachers, no matter how bad you talk about them, because they are fighting the devil right up front, and every imp of hell is on their back day and night. Not so bad with you, but anyone that's leading you to higher heights and there, let's get that thing straightened out. Hallelujah. Now that is a different story altogether. So God has to help them. So hang on to your ministerial clothes here this morning as tight as you can, and maybe you have a little longer longevity. Hallelujah. Don't forsake your ministry regardless. Praising God. Now, that's departure. Now let's reiterate again. What departed? Students, fear God. Respect for the ministry. God, the pillar. Health, the gift of healing departed. And the person who was holding up progress because the camp couldn't move till she got back in it again. She departed. Jesus spent all night looking for a lost sheep and left the 99 in the fold. I resent that. I do not want to have to live without Jesus in the fold while you're off on some tangent somewhere, off in some fling, off having a party up at the lake, out running hog wild and pig crazy, and he's out chasing you down and leaving me waiting on you to be restored back into the fold. I resent that. You stay put. You stay right in church. Listen, sheep, don't leave the fold. Say hallelujah. So she departs. Her, what's next? Her leprosy departed. And since she was back in the camp now and the camp could move, the camp departed. There's your departures. About 10 of them in a row. Now, I'd like to just say this in conclusion of the message. And how many's got something out of the message today? Listen, you six that didn't raise your hand, I will not preach this again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pentecost was poured out at the turn of the century, 1900, right? They became tongue talkers, right? The Pentecostal movement formed denominations at the turn of the century because they were kicked out of every church in town because they were a tongue talker. Now they found ways to eliminate tongues, but the only reason they existed in the first place was tongues. Hallelujah. I don't know about them tongues. Well, I do. How many knows your tongue needs some help? It only does two things. It either tastes or it talks. You can taste the honey in the rock to doomsday. You can't prove it to me. But if you ever spoke a language you never learned at the university, I'm listening, man. I'm convinced that God, who is a spirit, now controls your tongue. And now that he has your tongue, he has your whole body, because the tongue is the last member of the body to control. No man can control it. Only God can control it. And once he is controlling it, then he got all of you. Up until then, he don't have all of you. He's got all your members but one, the one you can't control. Am I right so far? Okay, so when God's got your tongue, he's got all of you. Now you can stand up and say, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your whole body, tongue and all, a living sacrifice unto me. Hallelujah. Okay, so now, turn of the century, in 120 years, it took Noah to build the ark. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be 120 years since the outpouring of the Holy Ghost from 1900 to 2020. Well, he said as the days of Noah were. Everything that we have today was invented since 1900. Before 1900, you had a mule, horse and buggy, kerosene lamp, and an outhouse. You only had running water if you run for it. You had nothing, no technology, until the turn of this past century. And the 120 years are about up, and I just want to show you the departures, okay? When the Holy Ghost was outpoured, everybody from all these different denominations had one thing in common: the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And since they did, they kept the unity of the Spirit until they could all come into the unity of the faith. Because they had all different kind of ideas and philosophies and theologies and doctrines and opinions. Opinions are not doctrines. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody got one. But a doctrine now, I love doctrine. And we will all come to the unity of the faith eventually, because Isaiah said, we shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. In the meantime, we keep the unity of the Spirit until we can all come into the unity of the faith. Hello. You're right so far, Brother Clark. That was the first decade. Second decade, politics. Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Well, they hatched what they were going to do before the conferences and the councils ever began, and they went through the motions when they got there. And they kicked out everybody they didn't want. That was their competition. And so now you have Pentecost divided. Now, when Pentecost is divided and splintered, it loses its impact when it strikes the devil head on. Just all shattered six ways from Sunday, see? So we had politics watered down the power that they'd received in the first decade. Now, I'll be just a minute with this, so get this. This is your history. There are people here that's been saved 6 months. Who's that? You've been saved a year. Who's that? 2 years. 3. 4. 5. Okay. 6. 7. 8. 9. 10. 11. 12. I know you haven't been saved for 120 years. I'm showing you your history here, okay? The third decade, that was the roaring 20s, where sin abounded in this nation. I'm just about through. Whatever you do, don't lose your miracle today. How many remembers the roaring 20s? Man, you're old. How many's heard tell of the roaring 20s? All right, what happened? When Pentecost got diluted by politics, then sin could enter in. Then we had the 30s decade, and maybe you're not even from this country, but this is a history lesson of departures, all right? In the 30s, we had the Great Depression. It was the punishment for the sins of the 20s, which occurred because of the division of the teens who left the unity of the Spirit of the first decade at the turn of 1900. Got it? Then came the 40s, where fellowship was broken. They always had fellowship meetings, but they don't have fellowship meetings anymore because everybody's building their own kingdom. Oh my God, we can't go over to that fellow's church. I might lose some sheep. And that fellow said, well, I'm a sheep stealer. Hallelujah. So you have fear to go anywhere, not even to a tent revival or a mass crusade somewhere, because I hope nobody sees me here. What happened is that fellowship is two fellas in the same ship, paddling in the same direction, placing you all in the same boat. But fellowship was broken. See, so now, don't go to that church. If you go over to that church, you're going to hell. Why is that? Well, you just are. Not good enough. That church spoke of tongues just like the church I went to. I don't believe that if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to hell. The only other place there is heaven, and you got to be a Christian to go. There's no other way to get there but through Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Now, fellowship broken. departure of fellowship. Hello. Now came the 50s. Out of the Pentecostal denominations was kicked out and cast out all gifts ministries, supernatural ministries. And all they accepted was the tongues that they were born with in 1900, because they couldn't get away from that, because that's the only reason they were in existence. Otherwise, they could be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Lutheranian or a Catholic or something else. But they had to be Pentecost because their trademark was tongues. It was just like the same oil that comes out of the Arabian well in the Middle East. It's divided up between Shell and Amoco and BP and Exxon and that El Cheapo 7-Eleven over here. It's all the same oil, but they lead you to believe it was different oil, different gas, you see. Are you getting it now? Out went the gifts. They would not accept any gifts because it was just too much for them to bear to have to face the music. Say amen. Amen. All right. Are you still getting this? Yes. I have about 2 to 3 minutes left on this, and so he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. So now we had the voice of healing in this country. It was a healing revival of America that occurred right about the time Israel became a nation, 1948, and it lasted 14 years to 1962. I was blessed, privileged to be in it the last year of 1962, and I got to meet the men that were in it, most of them, and I got a piece of every one of them in me. That's why I'm so weird today. But when the voice of healing tent came to town, for a month, every night, a different ministry showed up in that tent. Because in those days, ministries were specialized. People were known for certain things. That was their strong point, and it's still true today. Specialists instead of general practitioners. Riding horses and making house calls. Never mind. And now, by the end of the month, that town, seen just about everything that God could do. And they had grown so fast that now we had the Catholic Church coming up with the Charismatic Renewal as a plot to bring all the Pentecostals back to the Mother Church. So in this conspiracy, they pretended to be Pentecostal and to speak with tongues and to heal the sick and do everything Pentecostals were doing. And I'm not saying it was a totally bad thing, because it helped a lot of people and helped a lot of churches, but in it you'll see what it led to. All right, 50s, departure from the gifts of the Spirit in the church. All right, 60s, departure from the baptism of the Holy Ghost being a necessity. We used to say you had to have the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. Now we preach, if there's anything that's keeping you from getting the Holy Ghost, you're not getting to heaven. Watered down, watered down, watered down, and so is your healing and miracles watered down. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you stick anything on the back burner and make it an option, people will never do it. Never. Why? Because they're too busy. They got too much to do with the IRS, pay up or go to jail, see? That kind of stuff, that they never get around to getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hello. Departure from the necessity of the Holy Ghost. Now, I see an old timer back there. She's nodding her head. She's lived through most of this. The 70s, we have the effects of the Charismatic Renewal, where it took away the standards and the convictions of all the Pentecostals. Well, my mind's getting broader. Are you sure it's not your conscience stretching? Getting quiet in here. There was a day you didn't know, you knew a Pentecostal, but you wouldn't know what denomination there was, what organization, what church they went to. You had to go, because they all looked alike. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was a kid, and I could tell who was saved or not when I walked down the street back in my hometown. There was always a glow on the face of somebody that was saved. And I was just a kid. I could see that. But they went into those denominational churches that had spoken tongues three times. They're Pentecostal now. We've got to get them in our church. Let's go get them. They went to the parties. They went to the banquets. They went to the prayer meetings. They went to everything they did, and they had to tone it down. They couldn't shout anymore. They couldn't exercise the power and the manifestation, the demonstration anymore. They had to kind of not scare these people while they brought them into their church. They got them in their church, all right, but now their church was a denominational church. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Departure from standards and convictions. See? And then you didn't know who was who. You couldn't tell if anybody was saved anymore unless you read their bumper sticker. Honk if you love Jesus. I honked at one fella and he looked around and chomped down on his cigar and stepped on the gas and took off like I was going to rob him. Hallelujah. In the 80s, we had the departure of this. They were making mega churches. Oh, brother, did they ever build big churches called mega churches? But they built them with no tanks, no water tank. So if you was expecting to get baptized, you either had to live by the river or live by the seashore. Say hallelujah. Bathtubs are too short to baptize people in. Believe me, I've had to do that before. Hallelujah. And now, without water baptism, we have a departure of water baptism. Now comes the 90s. You want to hear the end of the story now? I'm almost at the end. Getting close to home, aren't we now? You was alive in the 90s. Some of you were saved in the 90s. I could tell by the show of your hands. They built bigger mega churches, but this time they built them without altars. They just built a stage. And where there's a stage, there's a show. Where there's a stage, it's just a performance. You're going through the motions of personal kingdom building and making sure of your security, making sure that you got a job and the money's coming in, and it's all about money. Well, don't worry. Pretty soon it ain't going to be all about money, because God is destroying your money very fast, and it won't be very long before your dollar is going to be totally worthless, and you're going to have to start trusting God like they did before they came up with paper. Say hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. So now we have churches without altars. Now the altar is the point of contact between earth and heaven. I know you can be a drunk out in the woods and make an altar out of a stump. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about coming forth in a public confession before the congregation and coming to the point of contact between earth and glory where God receives you. The altar is where the blood is shed and applied. Say hallelujah. All right. Now comes the 2000s. And guess what the departure was? We preached on it. Fear of God and respect of the ministry. But Brother Clark, we are facing the next decade. We're in 2013. I know we are now in the decade whose departure is, hold on to your hat, the departure of this decade is apostasy. As far as the mainline church world is concerned, and they're all going to be in the one world church. Oh, yeah, they're going to join. Or they'll lose their status, their tax number, their building, their property, their prestige. And well, they'll make excuses for doing it, just like they'll make excuses to put chips in their body. Well, this is not really the mark of the beast yet. Don't worry, the mark can go right over that chip. Don't you tamper with your body. Your body is the temple. If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. Hallelujah. You're not your own. You're bought of a price, not of silver and gold. You're a peculiar people, zealous of good works today. Thank God. All right, there's your 12 departures for the whole 120 years of the days of Noah in your day. And think, most of this happened while you was alive on the planet. We have blood moons coming. How many's heard about the blood moons? All right, they're coming next year. April the 14th is the first one. When there's four of them within a two-year span, that is a quadrant. And when they land on Jewish feast days, something demonic happens to the Jewish nation. It all, but it always winds up with victory. And I'm looking for Gog and Magog. They're already getting that war ready in the Middle East while I speak. I'm looking for it by April the 14th. I'm looking for the next blood moon or one of the blood moons for them to get back their temple. Because there's been three sets of blood moons in your generation. And prior to that, there's only been two since Jesus walked on earth. You are in the end time. Do you realize what generation you live in? In 1948, they became a nation on the blood moon. 1967, they got all their territory back on the blood moon. And in this next set in your generation, and it won't happen again for thousands of years, it's going to start next year. We're not only going to have the Middle East, Gog and Magog, which is the first war of the seven-year tribulation, but the last war is Armageddon. There's a constant battle for 7 years, Gog and Magog, the Islamic War, and then there's all nations from the earth at Armageddon. And then comes with his saints. Say hallelujah. I'm not getting into that. I'm just telling you that we are in the end time and all these things are about to come upon you and I. So what manner of man and woman ought you to be in all sobriety and soberness? Say thank the Lord. We've had departures for 120 years. We've had departures every decade. Been a departure. Aren't you glad that we're going to make a return today? Not a departure, but a return. I know I preached a while, and normally I don't preach in the daytime. I'm a night preacher. I'm not much good in the daytime. Usually Mama does the daytime preaching with us. But I went ahead with it because you needed it, and I hope that you learned from it and that you took notes upon it. Because there are departures everywhere, not just in Moses and Aaron and Miriam's day, but in your day, in these last 120, there are departures. We're going to get close to God now, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Thank God. Now, I don't know what time you folks usually get out of church here, but Brother Santos, he's anxious about something, so we're going to get a report here what's going to happen.
Let's bless the man of God, huh? And I would like to ask you for a favor, very simple favor. Tomorrow we're going to have a tent that can sit up to 300 people. And you and I know somebody that needs to hear words like these. Say amen.
Amen.